Beware, wicked men, for the tick is afoot. Today on Sci-Fi Weekly, we've got a ton of news, including Ready Player One and Westworld set photos and the review of Amazon's The Tick pilot.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Sci-Fi Weekly.
Hey, welcome back to Popcorn Talk Sci-Fi Weekly. It's such a great day to be here. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. Jesse Klein's here.
Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm super excited to be here. I got off an airplane about 45 minutes ago, and I'm ready to talk sci-fi.
He flew through the air with the power of science.
I did. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
And hey, guys, if you're joining us for the first time, make sure you go on to Facebook.com or Twitter.com and find Sci-Fi Weekly. That's at Sci-Fi Weekly or Facebook.com/Sci-Fi Weekly, where you can click like or click follow. And keep up with all of our various nerdy hijinks.
So many nerdy hijinks.
And if you're not subscribed on YouTube and on iTunes, you can find us on iTunes at Sci-Fi Weekly or on YouTube at Popcorn Talk.
Yeah.
Popcorn Talk Network. All right, guys. Let's jump right in. We've got a lot of stuff to go over. We had a pilot showed off our pilot last week. We're going to talk about a pilot this week.
Yeah.
There's
so much information here.
There's a lot of information. There's only one speed that we can do it at.
Ludicrous speed! Go!
Ready Player One had its first set photos from Birmingham, England leak out this week. And it's some futuristic dystopian cars.
It looks like...
So we got a postal truck, guys. It's a postal truck.
It looks to me like it's speakers that connect to your iPhone.
but there's a few other vehicles that were shown out, just like cars and things. It looks cool, but it is a postal truck.
Yep.
But it's enough to get me more excited for this movie.
Yeah, I'm excited about it for
sure. Still nothing from inside the Oasis.
I want to see what the virtual world is going to look like.
Yeah.
Also news, Jared Leto, Joker fame, joins the cast of Blade Runner 2. That's a weird looking dude. He'd be a weird looking replicant, right?
I buy that yeah. He's not human.
Yeah. I thought he was a replicant before he was part of Blade Runner 2.
The Blade Runner 2 also added a composer this week in Johan Johansson.
Yep. A replicant.
Nominated, he's a multi Academy Award nominated composer, most recently for Sicario. If you've listened to any of his scores, it sounds about right.
American Gods keeps on nailing it with their casting. Corbin Burnson, you might have recognized him from Psych, which is a show I loved, is going to be playing Vulcan.
That works.
Yeah.
Crotchety dad.
Crotchety dad. Yeah. Crotchety Vulcan.
Yep. I buy it.
Yeah.
Michael Pena is officially returning for Ant-Man and the Wasp in his role as Scott Lang's buddy, surprising absolutely no one.
Yeah. No one is surprised.
No. He's one of the everyone's favorite parts of the original or the first movie, and so I'm excited to see him back for the sequel that I expect to be light years better. Than the first one.
Yeah. In more Marvel news, we got Guardians of the Galaxy concept art. It shows like a giant space Tyrannosaurus Rex octopus.
It looks furry.
And apparently it's going to open the film. I can kind of see that. And James Gunn says it's not a bad guy.
He's like, it's not bad, but you know, it's not like good. I think it's just a creature that they're like trying to corral.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it looks like a misunderstanding. My favorite part is Baby Groot.
Yeah. I just see him go flying by the screen.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like spinning around. Whoa, whoa. Groot. More Marvel news. A supposed cast list leaked out over the weekend that showed off, it was supposedly from a call sheet, and showed off all kinds of reveals on who all these people were playing in the movie. One of them that stood out was the character Cindy. Now, in the Spider-Man universe, there's only one Cindy that's worth noting. That's Cindy Moon, who recently was revealed as the character Silk, another spider character who was bitten by the same radioactive spider as Peter Parker. Whether they're going to introduce a character that crazy and deep cut in the universe of comic books in the first movie seems unlikely. I love the character of Silk, and if they were even going to wait like 60 years before they gave it to us, I am down.
Yeah, Silk hasn't gotten her own book until like 2 years ago.
Like, she wasn't even a thing 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
She hasn't existed that long.
Yeah, she's super new. She's super cool.
Yeah.
But she's very new. Variety is reporting that Doug Liman, who's reportedly officially off the Gambit project, has signed on to helm's DC's Dark Universe, a.k.a. the Justice League Dark, which features Swamp Thing, Constantine, among others. I'm interested to see how DC makes their Dark Justice League darker than their regular Justice League.
What if this Justice League is more positive?
I feel like it might be. Like, with Frankenstein's monster in the mix, he's part of the Dark Justice League every once in a while. Like, it might be a more, like, lighthearted romp.
Oh, that's probably why they took the words Justice League out of the title.
Yeah, probably.
Godzilla... in the news this week, because it's officially going to be getting made into an anime. This is the first foray into the Japanese animated style for Godzilla. And we are going to get... Japan is currently making an updated version of the... that they wanted to, instead of like the weird giant thing that we got.
Yeah.
The American Godzilla. This isn't the first time, though... that Godzilla has been animated, and I, for one, will not rest on any Godzilla property. I will not be satisfied until I get a big screen adaptation of Godzuki.
Jeez.
I need me some Godzuki.
It looks just as good as I remember it looking.
I want it.
Odin has been spotted on the set of Thor 3, which is fun to say. Anthony Hopkins dressed as a homeless man.
As you do.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
Massive implications just from his outfit.
Yeah.
To
me, it means that there's a Dogma Thor 3 crossover.
it makes sense that could be Odin, like, either trapped with his mind wiped by Loki.
Yeah.
Or...
like laying low.
Or it could be Loki, since he's currently posing as Odin.
Yeah.
Just dicking around as a homeless man.
Or it could be Odin, since like his big fight with Thor a lot of times is like, why do you like humans so much? So maybe it's like him experiencing the worst humanity has to offer as a homeless man to see if there's also goodness in humanity as well.
Yeah. All right, well, that does it for Ludicrous Speed. Let's slow it down. Let's talk about some Westworld.
Let's do it.
HBO put out a few photos from the series. I thought we'd take a look at a few of them that stood out. Because this series is coming up soon. Like,
it's coming very soon.
It feels like it was only yesterday that we were like, this series might not happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then HBO go, no, we swear it's coming in the fall.
It's going to be.
And now it's like a month and a half out. Like, it's going to October 2nd. Will be when Westworld drops.
Yeah.
In this first picture, we got up James Marsden and Evan Rachel Wood.
It looks like it's right from, like, a Western. Like, it looks like...
All of the photos they put out, all the photos, like, in the Western piece look super,
like,
just spot on.
This
Western.
Looks like Shane. Like, it's right out of Shane. Like, he's going to ride away on that horse, and there's going to be an annoying kid... like, come back, Cyclops, come back.
I really love James Marsden. I actually...
me too.
...almost have trouble separating him from his role in 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Weirdly. Like, that's the first thing that I think of whenever I see him. But he's a great actor, so I'm excited to see him come in. He's playing Teddy Flood, who is a mysterious new arrival in Westworld.
Ooh.
A
gentleman from outside the town.
And then, like, the description on, like, the Westworld wiki says his pursuit of a local beauty launches him on a dark odyssey.
Ooh.
And that beauty is Dolores Abernathy, who you see in that photo, who is about, like, is the AI.
Yeah.
That we're going to, is sort of, we're going to be following as the main character, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And in a flip of the original, where it's really her story and, like, her discovering, like, oh my God, what, imagine you woke up and, like, all the terrible things in your life were controlled by, a couple people in a, like, Truman Show style booth.
Well, even that, like, at least I know what computers are. Like, if I'm from the Old West and I find out that computers are controlling my life, like, I feel like I would just be like, it's witchcraft.
Yeah, like, yeah. And then we have this photo of Ingrid Bergdahl, mm-hmm. Who's playing Armistice, a bandit from inside Westworld. All of these, I don't know, to be honest, like, I don't know if they've released it and I just couldn't find it, but
yeah.
I don't know if she's supposed to be a human or an android, but what I thought was really interesting about this photo is that if you look closely on her, on the side of her face and, like, neck,
yeah.
is there's almost like a tattoo type thing.
Or a brand.
Yeah, which feels super non-Western.
Yeah.
Almost like punk, it's almost like cyberpunk-y.
Yeah.
So that's like I think that's a really cool, interesting blend that they're gonna have. Like this is a sci-fi Western.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the only distinction that you see of anything in the Western side that is not, that you wouldn't see in, like, an old Clint Eastwood movie.
Yeah, I think they're probably gonna, they're trying to keep it under wraps who's
cyborgs, especially if it's not plot point.
Yeah. You know, we're gonna get a lot of, like, Battlestar Galactica type. Like, is this person a cyborg, or are they not?
And lastly, I want to take a quick look at this photo.
Oh, it's Odin again.
Yeah. Anthony Hopkins is all over today's show. Anthony Hopkins and Jeffrey Wright, who are people that work for Westworld.
Yeah.
They're the behind-the-scenes people. And they're talking to somebody. And I just thought, I picked this one out. And there are more photos you can see on IO9, where I pulled the photos from. But this looks like muscle ligaments.
Yeah.
In this, like of an arm or a leg.
It looks like Frisky Dingo. Did you ever watch it?
No.
Yeah. He's just like a white monster guy.
That's right. Quite the pull, Jesse.
Thank you, computer. I was a big fan of that show.
You're welcome, Jesse.
Computer and I sometimes watch TV at night. Does this mean that,
like, they've, like, pulled out, like, is there, like, a skinless android who's... Well, is it like, are we going to see one of our characters get skinned at some point?
It looks very similar to, I believe we did a sci-fi in real life where we showed, like, the fake muscle that they're creating, and it's like a bunch of white cords. It looks very similar to that type of thing. So it maybe they're, like, in the cyborg creation lab.
Yeah.
And, like, that's just the muscle.
It's just I'm just curious which stage it would be at. Is it before the skin on, or is it after?
Or did they take skin off? Yeah.
Which is even creepier.
Both are creepy.
Yeah. Both have creepy implications. Moving on from Westworld, I wanted to quickly talk about Class. Because the show creator went on to talk a little bit about the show this week and what we're going to see from it. Cole Hill has existed in Doctor Who since literally episode one, which is true. The Doctor's granddaughter went there, and we thought, all that time activity at the school, has that caused any problems? What do you know? It has.
What if it hadn't? What if this was just a drama about kids in school?
And the Doctor, like, waves from the window every once in a while. Like, hey, guys. And then he leaves.
Have fun in your perfectly normal lives.
It's a similar start point to Torchwood.
Yeah.
In that it's like, it's the people who are left behind in the Doctor's wake dealing with the breaks in space-time that he creates.
The fact that Earth has so many incursions happen,
yeah,
like, makes it, like, there's got to be people who are affected by it, for sure.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see that, like, I don't think it's a problem that it's similar to the start point of Torchwood, because it's a completely different setup. One thing that they say is that it is happenstance that puts these people at the center of things. Like, what if your timing is just weird and things happen to you? How do you deal with it? I'm interested in Real Consequences. The Doctor is always exciting, but he never stays. He goes off on the next adventure. What happens to real people? So even Torchwood, these were specialized scientists and an immortal, like, dealing with the Doctor's, what was left in the Doctor's wake. What about just people?
Yeah, what about,
like, human beings normies who don't get to travel with the Doctor?
Yeah.
Who don't have any kind of introduction. It's just, we are students, and now there are monsters attacking us because the Doctor had his granddaughter enrolled here, like, 60 years ago.
Yeah. I think it's an interesting thing. I think it's important to point out that in our notes, center is spelled the British way, R-E. And I think it'll be cool exploring that universe. Like, I think it's just a cool idea.
Yeah. I'm very excited. With that, let's move on to sci-fi and real life.
Yeah.
This week, this is a weird one.
This is a bit of a weirdie.
Normally we talk about stuff that's coming towards the future, but this is going a little bit into the past. We're going to time travel a bit. Because somebody, a drone journalist, Matthew Schroyer.
He's a journalist who writes about drones.
Yes.
Not a drone who is a journalist.
Yes. Good distinction. We needed to make sure that that was clear.
Mm-hmm.
But he dug up an old patent that Nikola Tesla had for drones, for unmanned vehicles that could be controlled. What was the quote was, controlled via a receiving circuit, both adjusted and rendered sensitive to the influence of waves or impulses emanating from a remote source.
Yeah.
He just described in 1898...
Yeah.
Remote-controlled drones.
Yeah. To give context, like, the thermos hadn't been invented yet. Also, I think this is proof that Tesla is a time traveler.
Yeah.
Like, this is for sure true.
Although it is also proof that even if you travel back, like, well before the technology was invented and try to patent something, time will fix itself and you will not get anything.
Well, his eyes got bigger than his stomach. He went back too far, like, because the technology was too much. Like, if he'd gone back to 1960 and tried to, like, create drones, he would have been more successful.
Yeah.
But he went back too far and they're just like, no. We're going to listen to the guy who electrocutes elephants.
It almost sounds like he's out of the 60s because the what he describes, like, let's take a look at a little bit of what he describes in his patent. Because, yeah, he's talking about, like, ships and, like, vehicles that could be controlled remotely. The invention will be useful in many ways. Carrying packages, you know. Amazon's working on that.
Yeah.
Establishing communication with inaccessible regions. I mean, now we have cell phones and satellite stuff, but if we didn't, this would be a great start.
A go-between.
Yeah. And for killing or capturing whales or other animals of the sea.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, at the time, electricity was not very popular as a power source. It was not around as much. Like, the main power source was whale oil. Like, that was the huge... Yeah. That was what most people were using. Like, that's how you lit your lanterns. That's how you got fire. Like, that's... It was important. So, yeah. Screw those whales. We're sending robots at them. Whales, you're on notice.
It's... Nikola Tesla hates whales.
Yeah. Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Nikola Tesla hates whales. He's the villain of the Star Trek
but
movies.
Even it gets even weirder from there because he's talking about there are many scientific, engineering, or commercial purposes, but the great value of my invention will result from its effect upon warfare and armaments. For by reason of its certain and unlimited destructiveness, you're not wrong, Nikola, it will tend to bring about and maintain permanent peace among nations. Basically, Nikola Tesla subscribed to the mutually assured destruction form of defense.
Permanent peace definitely sounds like a thing where everyone dies.
I mean, he needs to go read H.G. Wells' Time Machine.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I guess in 1898, there's limited... options for...
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of... knowledge of those kind of things.
I guess in a world where you couldn't possibly conceive of something as devastating as a nuclear warhead.
Yeah.
Unless he's a time traveler.
Which he
theory
is.
Theory is still up in the air.
No, confirmed. Theory confirmed. He is a time traveler. But yeah, when the worst, like the what a thrown lantern is the most destructive, like a cannonball, like.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, an explosive cannonball is probably
a powder keg bomb. Like, that's the worst things get. Like, of course, he would think of that. But the fact that he thought unlimited destructiveness means he was thinking bigger.
Oh, yeah. He knows. I mean, he basically... Well, even in a small form, it is the ability to send in, like, a robotic gun.
Yeah. That
could... You don't have to have a person there. So you're not worried about any of your people dying.
Yeah.
So you can just keep sending them wave after wave. Which is sort of where we are now.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable. Let's move forward.
It reminds me of Futurama, where Zap talks about winning against killbots. He's like, we found out that they had a kill limit. So we just sent wave after wave until they reached
wave
the limit.
Wave after wave of our own men.
Yeah.
Until they reached their limit and shut down.
A great victory.
For those people who, thank you to those of you guys joining us in the chat role, including Panther 7, the Black Cast, Dr. Specula. They're asking, two questions. Is the Doctor going to make a cameo in Class? No confirmation yet.
I believe he has to.
I think that there's no way that they can avoid doing it for a minute. Same way that David Tennant appeared in Torchwood.
Yeah.
For brief showing.
He's got to.
Yeah.
But which Doctor appears?
Well, if they're already shooting, so.
But I'm saying,
oh,
like,
you think,
why,
like,
couldn't,
you
why
think,
couldn't
like,
Smith
or
Smith,
Tennant, like,
or you... Tennant, like, depending on the timeline.
I mean, depending on, it doesn't even matter timeline.
I mean, the Doctor's timeline specifically.
Yeah.
Like, he could have visited as Matt Smith and then, like, gone to go
That's
fight
true.
The Weeping Angels.
It is true that, like you could have any of those former Doctors just drop in for a moment.
Yeah.
That'd be cool. That'd be a cool, fun way to go.
It'd be really cool.
I do think that there is a good chance Capaldi stops by.
Yeah.
As for release date, early, they haven't given us a date yet, but early 2017 is what I've heard.
Yeah.
But that would put it alongside the actual Doctor Who airing. I don't know.
Maybe
it'll come towards
feature.
The back of the season to lead you in. We'll see. We'll wait and see. All right. Let's get into the tick.
Let's dig into the tick.
Oh, boy. So if those of you who aren't aware, and maybe you're just finding this out for the first time, the tick, the hit 80s comic book series.
Yeah.
And had a cartoon in the 90s. Yep. There it is.
This is the theme?
had a live-action series starring Patrick Warburton in 2001, is being rebooted for Amazon.
That's right.
Amazon Prime, and the way that Amazon Prime does it, they shoot the pilot, put it online, and then you vote on whether or not you want to see it made as a series.
Yeah.
There have been some very high-profile shows that don't get voted in, like Zombieland, and mm-hmm. some very lesser-known shows that, like Transparent, that do and can go on to very big things. The Tick's fate, the Tick's destiny, if you will.
Destiny.
Is in your hands. But we thought we'd take a look at the pilot that they put out and see if we think it should be worth reviewing. So after we go through it, we'll give it our thumbs up or thumbs down. Like Roman
emperors.
Yeah. I was like, who votes on that?
Twin Roman emperors, Zach and Jesse.
Yes.
Classic Roman names.
All right, so a few just stats off the top. This was it was actually written by Ben Edlund, who created the Tick.
Yeah.
You're already off to a good start. He's also responsible for things like Firefly, Angel. I believe he was on Gotham.
Yeah.
So, you know, mixed career.
Listen, man, you did Firefly, I'm on board.
Yeah. So Jesse, just first thoughts off the top. What did you think of the pilot?
I mean, while we were watching it, I could not stop smiling. Like, the writing style is so silly and so over the top and so fun. And, like, the casting is great. Peter Serafinowicz is one of my favorite comedians. And to see him kind of sink his teeth into this over-the-top, crazy role is tons of fun. it's a world that's really interesting. It's a world where it's like, you know, if superpowers make you like enhance the things that are the best about you, they can also enhance the things that are the dumbest about you, or like the silliest about you, or like other parts of your personality. Like, it's not just like you're a heroic person. And like, because all the superheroes in, you know, a lot of the superhero world in Marvel and DC are just blatantly heroic, the Tick is specifically a clown of that.
Yeah. What I really loved about this was that the character of the Tick is just fun to watch. Like, let's talk about the world that they create. Cause this is a much darker version of the Tick, like much in the sense that, like, because it was such like just like silly cartoonish. Yeah. Even in the live action one from 2001,
the cartoon and the live action one always hinted at this kind of stuff, but it never really delved into it.
Yeah, but this is like starting to be more of a send up of modern superhero movies.
Yeah,
in addition to old stuff and comics and all that, because this feels like the silly version of a Batman versus Superman world
for sure. Yeah,
like this is the DCEU turned on its head.
Yeah,
and made into a farce.
Yeah, for sure.
And not that they won't poke fun at Marvel, but this is very like Superian. I'll just say right now, guys, some spoilers for the pilot, but it's a pilot, so
yeah,
nothing, there's nothing huge, there's no major plot points
there's nothing about big.
Superian, who's Superman,
yeah,
crash lands on Earth
in 1908
and then rids the world of all evil.
Yeah,
everyone loves him.
He's great.
And then he shows up, he's fighting the Terror.
Yeah.
Played by Jackie Earle Haley.
Yeah, who has been in superhero movies before. Was in The Watchmen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's
right. Yeah. The Terror, who, like in old cartoons and comic books, because his name starts with T, all of his stuff is T-themed. His ship is a giant T. His mask is in the shape of a T. Like, it's...
Oh my god, it was. I didn't even notice that. That's brilliant.
I was like, is this supposed to be like a Magneto mask? And I was like, no, it's a T. It's like a giant T. I love that. It reminds me of like the Venture Brothers, like that kind of send up of...
Like, Panther 7 is saying it has a very Deadpool quality to it.
Yeah, Deadpool as well.
It's it's different though. Like, Deadpool is straight up calling out every trope.
Yeah.
This is just like the thing I liked about it is this sort of treated the superhero world as just like, this is a fun world to make fun of and play in.
Yeah.
We don't even have to make fun of it really. It's just fun. It's like we can be silly here.
It's a cartoon mirror of the superhero genre, which is fun. And at the same time, like, they get into some very interesting and important issues as far as mental health goes, and like depression and PTSD. Like, Arthur for sure is someone who's dealing with a lot of issues, and like seeing how much like having a mental health issue weighs on your family and weighs on the people who love you. Like, that's, you see how Dot is really affected by him and his obsession.
Yeah.
And like, so at the same time, it's this really silly world. And I thought at first, like, is the Tick real? I was like, I wonder if he's just an expression of Arthur's heroic side. And I think that might be like, I think the Tick is real, but I also think that Arthur needs the Tick because it is an expression of who he wants to be.
Hmm. Do you think they're going to play with the, is he real?
I don't think so, but I think that's definitely who the character represents in the cartoon and in the show. Like, it was much more like, you know, the Tick being like, come on, wimp. And like Arthur being like, I don't know. And like, I feel like this is much more like Arthur seems to want to do the heroic thing and be a hero a lot more than he did in the other series. Like, he seems more of a hero, but he just doesn't have it in him. And the tick kind of represents what he, like, he just walked through bullets.
The way that was thing, bopped, like,
people
with,
on the head.
With the tick, like, they start out the episode with him doing voiceover.
Yeah.
Like, being our guide. So they made it sort of very clear the tick is not, even though this is the tick,
yeah,
it's sort of, he's not our main character. It's sort of Ferris Bueller style.
Yeah, for sure.
Where Cameron was really the main character.
Yeah.
What is it? Free flowing angel, or there's a term for this that I'm forgetting.
I don't know.
The angel, the wandering angel character.
Yeah, sure.
Is like Ferris Bueller, who just shows.
Gotcha. I see what you're really, talking about. Yeah.
He's, even though he's sort of the focus, the story in the arc is Cameron's, just like the story in the arc here appears to be Arthur's.
Yeah.
And so we're going to see it everything through his eyes. And the tick just goes in. He has the way that Peter Serafinowicz plays him. And he has a major, like, bar to jump over.
Yeah, for
sure. Patrick Warburton
was perfect.
Was phenomenal.
Patrick Warburton was perfect. And Peter Serafinowicz knocks it out of the water. Like,
he does. Like, I can't say he is at all overshadowed Patrick Warburton in my head, but, like, he is doing a great job of standing on his own.
Yeah, he's not doing a Warburton impression. Like, it's not like he's doing the same version that Warburton is doing. Like, he feels much more like 60s Batman, this tick. Like,
yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Like if 60s Batman had been about Superman instead.
Yeah, basically. Like, just the way he, like, speaks and the way he, like, talks about evil, like, it seems very much like 60s Batman.
It's almost, they're almost playing him like he's insane, which is what the comic books, in the comic version, he was an escaped mental patient.
Yeah.
Which totally lands for the way that they're doing this character.
Yeah.
Because he just, like, what if a well-intentioned, like, person who just wasn't right in the head actually had superpowers? Because that's what happens. Like, if you're crazy and you're like, I'm gonna go save the world, what happens if that person could actually do it?
Yeah.
So he just strides in. I love the, like, just shouting wicked men was like,
wicked men, wicked men, beware.
And the way that the choreography of that scene when he attacks the base is perfect, because he just flicks him away and he's got his chest out and head back, like, this is a blast.
Yeah,
I haven't a care in the world.
It was no Daredevil corridor fight. Like, it was, like, he's so not, like, hurt by anything. He's so not trained in any martial arts at all. He's just going around and basically just bopping people on the head. And
yep.
Like, there was no martial arts, no beauty to it. It was just him walking through and pushing people away.
What did you think of the costume?
I think the costume's great. I love that they kept the antenna, like, constantly moving around. Like, it was my favorite thing about, like, the live action thing.
The weird sort of pattern on the costume is perfect, because it's the difference between, like, the 90s era and today.
Yeah.
Now everything has to be patterned.
Yeah. It's not a spandex suit.
It's not spandex. It's armor.
It's not a plastic breastplate either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it looks like it is, like, carbon fiber. Is the look that it has.
Yeah.
Which is what everything needs to look like now.
It needs to look carbon fiber. In 10 years, it'll all be tinfoil.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, I always wonder, like, we look back at 90s stuff and we're like, that looks silly. But we didn't think that when it was the 90s. That looks so modern and awesome.
Oh, like the original X-Men movie. Like, X-Men 1.
Oh, the leather jumpsuits.
The leather jumpsuits. I thought that was so cool. And I'm like, oh, gross. and I think, like, the thing with Arthur, like, I thought his through line, like, the most important line for him was, like, what are you gonna do about it? Like, what is he going to do about it? His dad died. because of the terror. And he has been obsessed about finding the terror. In the story of the world, Superion killed the terror. Everyone thinks Superion killed the terror.
They found his teeth.
They found
He's
his teeth.
He's got to be dead, Jesse.
In the crater they made out of him. But Arthur...
There's not at all any foreshadowing based on the fact that they keep questioning whether he's dead or not.
Yeah. Arthur is obsessed with it. He's obsessed with finding the person who killed his dad and ruined his ice cream day. He wakes up from this drug. He gives himself some medication to kind of level himself out because he feels like he's losing it. And in this dream, the tick keeps on repeating, like, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And I think that's important to understanding Arthur's character, where he doesn't have the strength, but he wants to do something about it regardless. He's not a superhero, but he wants to do something about it.
Yeah. And then destiny tempts him.
Destiny slips her hand up their puppet holes.
But
it's
like
a warm tickle.
I like the idea that the tick is very much leaning on destiny.
Yeah. Well, that's his superpower.
Yeah.
His destiny speaks to him.
Well, and then the tick is speaking to Arthur, in his head. And that was what Panther was saying in the chat to the theory that he might be in Arthur's head.
Yeah.
Or that they might play with that idea, at least. He was hearing him.
Yeah.
But the two of them are bound.
The two of them are bound. I don't think the tick is in Arthur's head, but I think thematically he represents who Arthur wishes he was.
I mean, the tick blew up a base of bad guys, and they talked about the guy in blue.
But
while Arthur was arrested and in a cell.
No, Arthur wasn't Arthur asleep and on drugs? I don't think this is true, but you could say that he took those drugs and passed out, and then like his other persona manifested while he was passed out. And then he went and took them out.
This is an interesting theory. We need to have this show made, guys.
We do. We need
to
see where it goes.
Come to our decision. Let's keep going through. Whoopi
Goldberg was fantastic.
on Whoop.
On Whoop. People are crazy. People be cray cray.
Yeah. The other thing about this episode, it was very contained.
Yeah.
I mean, what Amazon, I'm sure, is building towards eventually is this is a binge show.
Yeah.
Like the way it ends was very cleanly leaning into an episode two.
Yeah.
Where you're like, oh my, because it ends with the shot, and yeah, you're like, the story just changed.
Yeah.
But it very easily could have been, you very easily could have just clicked on episode two.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Written yet or made yet. So I think it has that good quality. They have yet to introduce any of the other superheroes from the world.
Yeah.
We saw the group of three, one of them who's still alive, and I have to imagine he was left alive. We're going to meet him at some point.
Yeah, without hands.
Yeah, or just crushed hands.
With crushed hands, yeah.
Crushed hands, man. But, like, the other kid, we have yet to meet Batmanuel.
Oh, I love Batmanuel.
I feel like they'll get Batmanuel in there.
I kind of wanted the original casting. I forget that guy's name, that actor's name, but he always looks like he's wearing eyeliner, but it's just his eyes. His eyes are just smoky and deep.
I know who you're talking about.
It was Richard Alpert and Lost.
Yeah, that was all I could think of. Yeah. And like Richard Alpert is not
Jesse,
his name.
Referring to Nestor Carbonell?
I am referring to Nestor Carbonell.
He is a friend of the AfterBuzz TV network.
Is he?
Oh.
He has been in several times.
That's amazing. He's a good actor, and I think he could still be Batmanuel.
Yeah. No, he gets. I mean, why not? Why couldn't it be an aged Batmanuel?
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be a really funny crossover.
We have an aged Batman right now in the DC universe, so.
To our theory, though, Blackcast says who I'm pretty sure is Christian.
Yeah.
Says he's in for a Fight Club episode with the Tignor. I actually think that would be great if they played that as an episode, like around two or three.
Yeah.
Where you spend the entire episode and Arthur thinks the Tick is just his, like, another version of himself.
But
and then by the end, the Tick totally just not. Like knocks him across the room. And it's like, what?
That would be amazing.
Any favorite moments from this one?
I mean, just
from the pilot.
I mean,
for me, well, to get us started,
yeah.
Like for some reason, it was perfectly timed. After the fight scene where he fights all the dudes, and when it's about to blow up, and you just hear the Tick yell from a distance, "Go tell it on the mountain."
Yeah. My favorite one of his lines was, "I have the strength of 10 men, or 20 men. I have the strength of a crowded bus stop of men." is perfect. And of course, Wicked Men!
Yeah. But I'm excited to see, like, I think they've built a nice story with the Terror.
Yeah.
That it's clearly going to build, that there is somewhere for it to go.
I like that they're treating it like it's serious, while still being extremely silly. Like, I think it's a really good direction. I will vote for it to get a full season.
Yeah. I as well will cast my vote for this.
Yeah.
So if you're an Amazon Prime member, go to Amazon.com and vote for The Tick.
Please do.
And then get ready for next year when we have to vote for Buckaroo Banzai.
Please do.
This is going to be a real weird year on Amazon.
It's going to be a great year on Amazon.
Great year. And you guys, if you've seen the pilot for The Tick, let us know what you thought.
Please do.
You love it? I want to know what your favorite moment was from Tick, and I want to see it in the comments below. If you're on YouTube or if you're on Twitter, iTunes, all that, send it to us.
Yeah.
Speaking of iTunes, before we get to this week, the mission assignment for next week, I want to give some shout-outs.
Oh, really?
Because you guys that have been nice enough to leave us a review on iTunes, we really appreciate it. For those of you who haven't, take 5 seconds of your time. Go onto iTunes, hit a review. It's a great way. It helps people find this podcast, because we're still fairly new.
Yeah, we're just getting our legs.
Yeah, we're just getting our legs underneath us.
Yeah.
We need the Tick, a Tick-esque feat of strength.
We do.
We need that showing from you guys, our loyal listeners. We really appreciate it, and that's why we want to give shout-outs, as long as iTunes wants to cooperate via the internet with me. But let's do our mission assignment.
Oh, are we
for
not
this
getting,
week.
We can't pull them up?
In the meantime.
Okay. Our mission assignment.
Computer, if you could cue the mission assignment. There it is. Da, 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 da. All right, so next week, we're going to be talking about... Next week, we're going to be talking about this summer in sci-fi. This summer has been filled with all kinds of crazy TV shows, tons of sci-fi movies, some of which were great, some of which were terrible. And we want to know what your favorite was. What was your favorite piece of sci-fi from the summer? Was it a TV show? Was it a movie? Was it a book? Was it a comic book? What was it? What was the thing that you will always remember as the summer of 2016 sci-fi thing?
Yeah.
We're going to look through, we're going to take a nostalgic look back through summer of 2016 with all of its blockbusters, all of the shows.
Yeah.
And that'll be fun. Anything that stands out to you, Jesse?
Put on the spot right now. God, what stands out to me? Can you go first?
Killjoys.
Okay.
For me, Killjoys, like, it was the surprise hit for me of last summer, and this summer season two just elevated it to no end.
Yeah.
It has kept getting better and better as the show goes on, and weirdly proved was a show that I thought was going to be just a silly, like, fun joke of a series, and turned into some serious dark sci-fi that is just fun to watch with every episode.
Yeah, and I was just talking to you about this, but I've been reading, I just caught up with the all-new X-Men, and I know this is Marvel news, but still sci-fi, X-Men Mutants. I really like the direction they're taking them. I think the new class is the new old class has some really interesting stories and some interesting kind of parallel stories to what's going on in the world right now. I highly recommend it. It's really fun, but also can get into some deep stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great series. I read a lot of those issues.
And yeah.
It's definitely worth a check out. Sorry, iTunes listeners.
Next week, we will read all your reviews. Next week,
there will be a ton of reviews.
A crowded bus stop.
By which I mean a few. But make it a ton, guys. Go on to iTunes, hit us up. Be sure to like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all those places, at that Zach Wilson, THATZACHWILSON. Jess Klein?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Jess Klein 1. That's JessKlein, the number one. I mostly tweet either about this show or comedy stuff.
Yeah, those are good things.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, iTunes decided to work.
Hey!
So before we get out of here, I want to give... we got a bunch of reviews. I want to thank these people.
A crowded bus stop of
Silly
reviews.
Boy 420 says, a whole heap of knowledge and funny. Very enjoyable. Worth a listen.
Awesome.
Darth Baca says, I think you guys are doing a great job. I love... I watch you guys on YouTube after I come home from work. Keep up the great work.
Is that a Darth Chewbacca? Chewbacca?
Yeah. Captain Travis, I just binged, listened to all the episodes so far, and I've enjoyed every minute. It's the perfect listen for anyone who likes sci-fi. That's with an I, not a Y. Learn the difference.
Please.
CV channel. Makes my time at work go by faster. And we got a few more that I'm going to save for next week.
Next week.
But thank you to Langley and Crazy Charlie. We will shout you guys out next week. Guys, until next week, this has been Sci-Fi Weekly. And thanks for geeking out with us.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.
My God, it's full of stars.